OU Israel presents
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky. Today is Yom Chamishi B'Shabbat Parshat Bo. This week's Seder, of course, is Bo. It is the third day of Shvat 5768, the 10th of January 08, Thursday, but more significant for us here in Jerusalem, the second of the Bush days. Second day of President Bush's visit. It is extremely inconvenient in the area of the Israel Center. He's staying at the King David Hotel a block away. The roads are closed off to vehicular traffic for major, major chunks of time. Public transportation is diverted from the area, and at a certain point when motorcades are passing through, there's no pedestrian access either. So we have suffered yesterday and today and tomorrow morning, I'm sure, from lower attendance, people staying away from the area. Torah Tidbits distribution takes place on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and that's been very difficult. We've been having to carry large quantities of Torah Tidbits out of the immediate area in order to get access to cars and taxis or whatever to facilitate pickups and deliveries. So that's the story on the ground here. As far as his agenda, let me put it like this. There was a headline on one of the articles in the Jerusalem Post this morning. I don't have it in front of me, so I'm just paraphrasing. The major part of the headline was something like, Bush, colon, we will not force Israel to do anything. In the sub-headline, in large print, was, of course, when pressure is necessary, we'll be glad to supply it. So read through that and see what you come to. The other thing which I just wanted to share with the listeners, I thought was a brilliant stroke on somebody's part. Eged, the bus company, distributed flyers for the last couple of days outlining the routes that are being diverted and the ones, the streets that are closed. And the headline on this flyer, the whole flyer was white lettering on green, which is the Eged color. In big white letters across the top was the word in Hebrew for disturbances in the transportation. The word in Hebrew is shibushim. And it was spelled correctly, shin yud, and then in bold, bold letters, Bet Vav Shin, and then a little Yud Mem following it. So for those who want to hear that again, Shibushim is disturbances, and right in the middle of the word, between the first two letters and the last two letters, in bold is the word Bush. So I thought that summarized, without actually saying anything, the attitude of the average Jerusalemite during this historic visit. As far as the tachlis of the visit, I would like to suggest that Tehillim 130, Psalm Kuf Lamed, I switched the Hebrew and English there by accident, that we will say shortly, followed by the Achinu Kol Beit Yisrael, is specifically appropriate, although we say it every show and we say here at the Israel Center every day, because there are difficult times that we are living in, difficult times ahead, and specifically when we get to Achinu Kol Beit Yisrael, Hanetunim Batzara Uvashivya, our fellow Jews who are in captivity, it is sad that Israel has not had a way. I don't know if they would have, I would hope that they would, but from a non-politician's perspective, I would have liked to have seen Israel's leaders say to the United States, Jonathan Pollard gets released from prison and returned to Israel immediately. Otherwise, we don't even talk about anything. He's been in prison an obscene amount of time, and he's being held as a political pawn. And it is unwarranted that the United States should continue doing what it's doing, and it's much to Israel's discredit that they have not found the way to insist that he be released. Pollard was quoted through his wife the other day saying that it is obscene that I sit rotting in jail while my handler, the Israeli spy agent, secret agent, who controlled Pollard, should not only be free, but he's going to be at a dinner meeting with Bush this evening. It just defies all logic, as does most politics. That's one thing. The second thing, of course, is the kidnapped soldiers, where Israel should have said all along, we will discuss nothing. We will help along nothing. We will proceed with nothing until these soldiers are returned to their families. Period. End of sentence. And unfortunately, that doesn't happen. And therefore, when we say Achenu, and when we will also play an Achenu, which is particularly beautiful, I think I played it once before recently, these thoughts and prayers should be in our minds, that God helps out the situation in spite of all the efforts of all the non-efforts of the Israeli government. Shir ha-ma'alot mima'amakim karaticha Adonai. Adonai shima v'koli tihyena aznecha kashuvot l'kol tachanunai. Im avonot tishmor ya Adonai miya amod. Ki emecho ha-salicha l'ma'an tivarei. Ki viti Adonai kivita nafshi v'lidvaro ho-cholti. Nafshi l'Adonai mi shomerim la-boker, shomerim la-boker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai ki im Adonai ha-chesed v'harbe imo fedut. Vehu yifde et Yisrael mikol avonotav. Achenu kol beit Yisrael hanatunim batzara uvashivya haomedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha hamakom yirachem aleihem v'yotziyem mitzara lirvacha umeafela leora umishibud legeula hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv v'nomar amen.
Israel, hanatunim betzara uveshivya. Achenu kol beit Israel, achenu kol beit Israel, hanatunim betzara uveshivya. Yabasha Hamakom Yirachem Aleihem Hamakom Yirachem Aleihem Hamakom Yirachem Aleihem Hamakom Yirachem Aleihem Veyotziyem Mitzara Mitzara See you next time. ירחם עליהם. המקום ירחם עליהם. המקום ירחם עליהם. המקום ירחם עליהם. ויוציאם מצרה, מצרה לרווחה, ומאפלה לאורה, ומי שיבוד לגאולה.
Don't think for one minute that this has not been Parshat HaShavua. If Parshat Bo needs a headline, a koteret, it would be Let My People Go, as we had in last week's Torah reading as well, and a little bit at the end of the week before. But this week, Parshat Bo, is when the people get out of Egypt in dramatic fashion. And Let My People Go in application to the entire nation, and Let My People Go in application to individuals, to us should be equally important. People play numbers a little too loosely. When 25,000 Israelis are in target range of Qassam rockets launched from different launching cells in the Gaza Strip, then it's a manageable situation, and the government does not really take the steps necessary to stop it. They do things, can't say they don't do anything, but I have a feeling that they really should do a hell of a lot more, pardon the expression. When we're talking now about 250,000 Israelis within range of rockets, then they start to wake up. And I think even that does not panic them, because they're calculating the numbers. Let them go live in Sderot, the policymakers, and see if the numbers are that important. But we've got Jews in captivity for the reason that they are Jewish. In the Pollard's case, he did immeasurable help to Israel and to the Jewish cause by what he did. And no matter what else anybody has to say about it, that has to be the most significant factor of the whole issue. And the boys that were kidnapped at different fronts should be returned where they belong, to their homes. They must have suffered terribly, as the whole country has, and this has to be part of "Let My People Go." And of course, the pharaohs of the world say no, and Israel has to be the one doing God's bidding to put the bite into the statement of "Let My People Go," so that they will let the people go, or they'll get out in some way or another, hopefully to the joy of their families and all of us. So it's very much part of Parshat Bo. I would like to repeat the offer I made last week to put in greetings from listeners on the occasion of births, bar mitzvahs, bat mitzvahs, engagements, weddings, what have you, and on the other side of life, yahrzeits, to do in memory of. Be glad to do it if you send me an email to TT, Torah Tidbits, TT@OU.org, and in the subject write radio greeting or something like that, just to catch my attention. But that address is my main address, and I will get it. And we'll be glad, as I said, to announce it, make a little bit more listener-friendly use of these airwaves. I use the expression a little loosely, since it's not like the old radio broadcasting, but it's still radio waves and airwaves, and that's how you're listening to these words. On a personal note, yesterday, the 2nd of Shvat, was my Zadie's Yahrzeit, my grandfather. 51 years ago he passed away. I was a little boy at the time, but I remember him, and more so from stories in the family. And his name was Yecheskel ben Shmuel. Yecheskel, that name appears in my family on many, many different children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren all around. And even though it's been a long time, he definitely was part of who we are today, the we being his many descendants. Yehi Zichro Baruch. From last week to this week, in Torah Tidbits, the hard copy, and in various talks and shiurim that I've given, I've been developing an idea in my mind. It's not brand new to me, but its latest manifestations are. And I want to sort of give it a little summary. We say, let me say the following. This is a new thought, and I don't know why I never saw it any place or thought of it before. The reading of Parshat Bo this week, the reading about Parshat Bo, the listening to the words that I am speaking now, even, in discussing Yetziat Mitzrayim, the Exodus from Egypt, we are fulfilling the mitzvah in the Torah to remember the Exodus all the days of our lives. Speaking of remembering the Exodus, let's put it like this. It's like a beautiful diamond ring. I think I mentioned this not too long ago. The diamond itself is the Seder night. The Seder night, we have a mitzvah which comes from Parshat Bo, by the way, called V'higadta Levincha Bayom Hahu Lemor, and you shall tell your child on this day, saying, Ba'avur ze osa Hashem li b'tzeiti mi Mitzrayim. Because of this, God took me out of Egypt, to personalize it and to tell the next generation. The mitzvah of Haggadah, which is a major component of the Seder experience, is a fulfillment of V'higadta Levincha, which is the diamond the stone, the gemstone in the ring that I am describing. The setting, the beautiful setting that is holding the diamond in place is like Pesach, Passover, the whole holiday. It's a 7-day holiday outside of Israel, an 8-day holiday that is the setting that holds the gem, which is Leil HaSeder, the Seder night. And it too serves as a significant remembering of the Exodus. Hence the requirement to eat matzah, the prohibition against eating chametz, and everything else that goes with it, the Hallel and the prayers, and the Torah readings on each day of Pesach. That's the setting to the gem. But that does not describe the whole ring. There is a beautiful ring that is holding the setting, which is holding the stone, and that ring represents the entire cycle of the year. From the beginning to the end, which there is no real beginning and end, it's a full circle, as a ring is, and this is a beautifully done band of white gold, platinum, whatever you want to describe when you tell this analogy to somebody else. And that also is a significant contributor towards remembering the Exodus. But it's on a daily basis. It includes the recitation twice a day of the full Shema, which includes the third passage, which comes from the end of Parshat Shlach in Bamidbar, the book of Numbers, which speaks of tzitzit, which speaks of all mitzvot, which prohibits following the temptations of your eyes and your heart to go the wrong way, and is a reminder that God is the one who took us out of Egypt. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, asher hotzeiti etchem me'eretz Mitzrayim lehiyot lachem leilokim. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. I am the Lord your God who took you out of Egypt to be your God. And that is a daily reminder of His taking us out of Egypt. On Friday night when we say Kiddush, we have another reminder. And it goes on and on. Many, many, many reminders. The one I'm referring to now is the learning and reading and studying and talking about Parshat Bo. You are listening to Torah Tidbits Audio for Parshat Bo. We were just talking about the fact that the study of Parshat Bo, the discussion of Parshat Bo, anything in the reading of Parshat Bo, listening to it in Beit Knesset and Shul this Shabbat, is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of remembering the Exodus every day of your life. That is part of our obligation to remember where we came from and who created us. First commandment. Not I am the Lord your God who created the world. I am the Lord your God who took you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. That is so significant that repeatedly throughout the Torah we have reminders. Do this in order to remember that you were once a slave in Egypt. Do this to remember Yetziat Mitzrayim, the Exodus. Do this, and many things are tied in with it, including the wearing of tefillin and many other mitzvot. Before we get back to Parshat Bo, I would like to be personal again. I mentioned my grandfather's yahrzeit. Lahavdil, to distinguish from that part of life to the part of life that I'm going to mention now, is a birth, actually a birthday, 28 years ago, on the Friday night of Parshat Bo, Shabbat Parshat Bo, our middle daughter Aviva was born. And even though the date on the calendar is not until the 8th of Shvat, which is next week, and in the secular calendar, the 25th of January, which is the week after, the other part of her birthday that means the most to me is that Leil Shabbat, that Friday night in the winter in New York, when we managed to get to Long Island Jewish Hospital right before Shabbat, and she was born at 7:35 in the evening. I had managed to make kiddush on rolls. I don't think I had wine with me, but my wife had the presence of mind to toss in two challah rolls into our bag. So I made kiddush on the rolls in the labor room, and I didn't get a chance to bench to say Birkat HaMazon until the delivery room. But I did have the very, very special thrill of holding my newborn daughter in my arms, swaddled in a white blanket, maybe when she was 10 minutes old, maybe a little bit less. And I sang to her what I felt was the most appropriate greeting into this world, Shalom Aleichem. And I would like to play that song now. This is an Erev Shabbat show, regardless of when you listen to it. So it's not so out of place to play Zmirot. I do it often. But I found an interesting gematria, numeric value, which I play around with a little. And that ties in Shabbat with Yom Tov. Our introduction to Yom Tov is in this week's Sedra. The Pasuk says, Uvayom HaRishon Mikra Kodesh, talking about the seven-day holiday that the Torah calls Chag HaMatzot. On the first day it shall be Yom Tov Mikra Kodesh, proclaimed holy. Uvayom HaShvi'i Mikra Kodesh, Yihyeh Lachem, it shall be Yom Tov for you on the first and seventh day. Kol Malacha Lo Yeyaseh Vohem, no manner of malacha, labors, can be done by you, except Ach Asher Yeyochel L'chol Nefesh, that which brings food to the table for the person. Hu Levado Yeyaseh Lachem, that alone you can do. In fact, I will talk a little bit about this verse later and what we learn from it. But our introduction to Yom Tov is Pesach, and this verse is not just related to Pesach, even though it describes first and seventh day of Passover, but it's about Yom Tov in general. There's a pasuk which we have read earlier, in the very beginning of the Torah, in Parshat Bereshit. Vayevarech Elohim et Yom HaShvi'i Vayekadesh Oto, Kivo Shavat Mikol Malachto, Asher Bara Elohim La'asot. That is the culminating verse of creation of the world, the three-verse portion about Shabbat, that God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because he rested from Melacha, same word, that he created and challenged us to continue this act of creation. These two verses, Bereshit 2:3 and Shemot 12:16, have the exact same numeric value, the same gematria, 4,928. I don't have a significance yet to that number, but this concept of gematria twins or gematria pairs is one of the things that I like investigating and, as I said, playing with in order to see things. And Shabbat and Yom Tov certainly are tied together. Shabbat is referred to as the first of the holidays, Rishon Hu L'Mikra'e Kodesh. And this is yet another link, albeit in the realm of numeric value. The specific tune to Shalom Aleichem is the one that I used those 28 years ago, the one I grew up with, and the one I still continue to sing in my home on Friday night. If I have time later, we'll finish off with a different Shalom Aleichem, which occasionally one of my daughters likes to introduce, but I have never abandoned the old traditional Shalom Aleichem, and here it is. Happy birthday, Aviva, and welcome to the world. And if you shall ask, how do I name a baby born in the middle of the winter? Aviva, from the word for spring. I don't know. We wanted that name. And sure enough, I had the opportunity to choose which aliyah I was to receive the next morning. And I asked for the last aliyah, because in it is the verse, Hayom Atem Yotzeim B'Chodesh Ha'aviv. Today you are leaving in the month of the spring. Ha'aviv, you take the hay from the beginning of that word, put it at the end, and you get Aviva. That is not why I chose the name, but that's the thing that became attached to it. I mentioned earlier that last week and this week in Torah Tidbits and in other formats, forums, I was working on an idea which is based on a statement in the Mishnah which we quote in the Haggadah, that b'chol dor v'dor chayav adam lirot et atzmo ki'ilu hu yatza mimitzrayim. In every generation, a person has to picture himself as if he actually came out of Egypt. A crucial word there, which I don't know if I'll get a chance to work on with you, is the word ki'ilu. Ki'ilu is not the same as the actual experience, but we cannot have the actual experience of the Exodus. We could do a very good job on ki'ilu, hu yatsa mimitzrayim. But it seems essential that our perspective on events from the Torah, from all of Tanakh and all of Jewish history, should not be once upon a time, a long time ago, this is what happened to our ancestors. It's more than that. The Torah makes a point of it, and the Haggadah picks up on it, by saying to the Rasha, the wicked child, you think that you are not part of this people. But you have to realize that we say, Ba'avur ze osa Hashem li bitzeiti mimitzrayim. When you're telling the story of the Exodus, you say, because of this, God took me out of Egypt. Not those long time ago, once upon a time people who we really can't relate to. It was the Jewish people. We are part of the Jewish people. And the task, a very sacred one, of each person at the Seder, is to put himself into the situation of reliving, personalizing, internalizing the story of the Exodus. And I don't believe it stops there. I believe it continues, or it even starts earlier, to putting oneself into Shibud Mitzrayim, the slavery, the oppression of Egypt, to put us at Mount Sinai receiving the Torah, to put a person, each and every one of us, as part of the multitude of people who wandered for 40 years, eating the mun, the manna that fell from heaven, hearing the words of Torah taught to us and reviewed and explained by the greatest teacher of Israel, Moshe Rabbeinu, that we have to have a fresh perspective and outlook on everything that happened in Jewish history, good as well as bad, in order to properly benefit and learn from those experiences, not as the flat once upon a time ago history, but as fresh new experiences. And sometimes it takes a little innovation and imagination to actually put yourself into that position. I did a timeline last week on the period of slavery, trying for myself to get a handle on understanding what we're dealing with. We read about it in Parshat Shmot, where enslaved Moshe Rabbeinu is born, and God is already prophesying the redemption. In Va'era, seven plagues are raised down on Egypt, and we know what's coming. And in Parshat Bo, three more plagues, and we're out. And we celebrate the first Pesach. And it seems to us to have taken just three Shabbats worth of reading, And when we do it at the Seder table, it takes 45 minutes to go through the whole thing. But this was a process, a long, long process. The plagues themselves was a full year of time, according to some opinions, or at least a half of a year. And the period of enslavement, not just when Yaakov and his children went down to Egypt to see Joseph, but the actual period of slavery and oppression and persecution and ghettoizing and murders spanned 117 years. Just think, as an analogy to the period of the Holocaust in Europe, how long that took, whether we want to go back from its earliest times in 1930-ish and bring it to 45, is only 15 years. Only 15 years. Which means we of the generation that followed the Holocaust have parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles who lived through that period of time, and they have memories sometimes before the Shoah, before the Holocaust, and certainly memories of their families before the Shoah. Except for the tradition we have of certain unique individuals like Serach, the daughter of Asher, the people who came out of Egypt had memories only of being enslaved and oppressed and persecuted and ghettoized and tortured and killed. So it gives you a little bit pause to think that if today were the time of the Exodus, the enslavement would have begun at the end of the 1800s with the entire 20th century, the Jews being enslaved. That is more than 3 weeks worth of Torah reading and certainly more than 45 minutes of a Seder experience. But it helps with a perspective in Ki'ilu, making it as if you were there and you came out. It's a very difficult task, but we owe it to ourselves and we owe it to our children and grandchildren to be able to personalize and internalize, as I mentioned earlier, and bring alive all of Jewish history. I'm going to conclude the show with another Shalom Aleichem. I know that in my house, when my children tried to introduce other tunes, I sort of resisted and then later compromised, where we sang, instead of all three times each stanza in the traditional tune, we did one round or a round and a half or whatever in a newer tune, which is what you're going to hear. But I think it's an important thing to keep in mind. And I drew the line at Shalom Aleichem. Many of the other Zmirot, I don't sing the same way I did as a child. But I found it important, not only for my children, but for my grandchildren, to see and hear a Shalom Aleichem the way my parents sang it and the way their parents sang it. So keep that in mind. I'm not saying shun everything new tune-wise, but a nice blend is important, and it's a good way for one generation to pass on traditions to the other. On that note, I wish you a Shabbat Shalom and Lahishtamea.
Malchei, Malchei, Amnofi.